കുണ്ഡലവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. Krishna, after speaking about Brahma Nirvanam in two different ways, saying that Labhante Brahma Nirvanam Rishaya Shina Kalmashaha, how a person who has controlled his mind, how will he be able to get Brahma Nirvanam? The short explanation of the path. And then he spoke about Brahma Nirvanam, as to what is Brahma Nirvanam, or how we can identify Brahma Nirvanam, how we can recognize Brahma Nirvanam, in a very beautiful shloka, as kama krodha vyuktanam yatinam yatachetasam abito Brahma Nirvanam vartate vidita atmanam, meaning that surrounding or abitaha Brahma Nirvanam vartate. Abitaha, surrounding, means around, or the place around which a person such a jnani or mahatma is present, around that place bliss will be dancing. That means any person who comes in the vicinity of such a mahatma, and who is open, whose mind is open, whose heart is open, who is open to ideas, who is open to concepts, who is open to different perceptions, such a person will be able to feel the bliss. So that's what Krishna said. And even if there are people like who want to argue, who want to question, even if they come in front of such a mahatma, naturally all their thoughts, all their doubts, all their arguments will automatically vanish. That is the reason why many worldly people who are used to arguments, who don't believe in Sarvagata Ishwaraha, who doesn't believe in Ishwara, all pervasive Ishwara, they find it very tough to be present in Amma's presence or any other Mahatma's presence, because it is contrary to their experience. Their experience is one of sorrow, one of like having many thoughts, thought vibrations will always be there. That is their experience. But when they come in front of such a Mahatma, all thoughts temporarily cease. Since thoughts cease, so they, for them it is an unnatural state. Though it is the natural state of any being, yet they find it as if like it is an unnatural state, because so they are so used to thoughts, they are so used to vibrations. So I have seen many people coming to Amma, and then like after one or two visits to darshan, they will not be able to come back again, because in Amma's presence, like, they will not be able to entertain thoughts, they will not be able to get their natural state of turbulence, natural state of thought vibrations. That means that though we may not be open, yet like if we are able to spend some time in the vicinity of a Mahatma, automatically the mind will calm down and will be able to experience Brahma Nirvanam or Anandam. So after explaining that, so Brahma Nirvanam, Krishna spoke about Brahma Nirvanam in the last two shlokas. So obviously the question will come, is Brahma Nirvanam moksha? So the question is whether Brahma Nirvanam is moksha or Brahma Nirvanam is not moksha. And that is Krishna clarifies in the next two shlokas. So Shankara's Bhashya on the next two shlokas says about Sadhyo Mukti. So he says, Shankara says that in the previous shlokas and other things, like Krishna spoke about gradual moksha by offering oneself to Ishvara. So if we surrender to a particular form, then we will not, with the knowledge that the form is present everywhere, then we don't get Sadhya Mukti, but we get what is called as Krama Mukti. We'll go to Brahma Loka and then learn there, and at the end of the Kalpa or end of the Yuga, we'll get Moksha. But Shankara says that Krishna believes in Sadhya Mukti, therefore he gives Sadhya Mukti in the next two shlokas. And as we are aware of this chapter, like Shankara and other commentators as well, split it into two aspects of one as Brahmanyadaya Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya and Naiva Kinchit Karomi Iti Yukto Manyera Tattvavit. We have already discussed that. So those two aspects or two perspectives or two different ways, distinct ways, are not exactly distinct. So we don't need to split it into one for Karma Yoga, Karma Yogis, people who offer, and one for Jnana Yogis. We can split that, but still both will lead us to the same goal. So whether we offer to an Ishvara or whether that we directly worship Nirguna Brahman, Sadhya Mukti is possible for both. If we are able to worship Ishvara and see him everywhere, like if we see Ishvara as pervading the entire world, then automatically the form vanishes. When the form vanishes, we are worshipping Nirguna Brahman. When we are worshipping Nirguna Brahman, everything becomes Nirguna Brahman, then automatically we get Sadhya Mukti or liberation here itself. So we don't exactly need to split those two and say, okay, if you follow this, you'll get one. If you follow this, you'll get another thing. But still those two ways, two distinct ways are there. But both lead to the same place. Both lead us to the same place wherein we have to realize that everything is one Brahman. So whether we follow the way of offering actions onto Ishvara or whether we follow Akartrutvam or Akartha, the Bhavam of Akartha, I am not the Karta, Rache Bhavam, Sakshi Bhavam, both ways we will be led to the same goal, same state of realizing that I am the Sakshi Ishvara. Everything is Sakshi Ishvara. The actions are illusions, actions are not real, and whatever exists is only one Brahman. That we will automatically realize. So though Krishna did speak about those two, like karma, like offering, or nishkama karmam, offering of karma, as well as doing it oneself rather than taking resort to an Ishvara, doing it oneself, but still both are almost the same. There is not much. Both will lead us to the same state. So we don't need to exactly split and say, okay, I am doing Karma Yoga, I am not doing Jnana. But we have to have Jnana there as well, because we need to know whom we are offering to. And when we have Akarta, when we are the Akarta, automatically we have offering. We don't offer, but still we are aware of Brahman. We are aware that everything is Brahman, thereby everything is only an illusion in Brahman. Therefore we offer everything onto Brahman, knowingly or unknowingly. But Krishna here speaks about, first thing he says is about Brahma Nirvanam is the same as Moksha or Mukta. And Shankara says that Krishna uses the word Sadha Mukta Yeva. Sadha Mukta, ever liberated. So that is what Shankara is emphasizing and showing that it means the next two shlokas. Krishna is speaking about Sadhya Mukti, not Mukti in a gradual way, but Mukti here itself. And Mukti, that Mukti which we gain here, that Mukti we'll always be experiencing here. Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bahyan.
Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bahyan.
Chakshushchaivantaro Bruvoh.
Chakshushchaivantare Bruvoh.
Okay, sorry. Antare Bruvoh. Pranapanau Samau Kritva.
Pranapanau Samau Kritva.
Nasabhyantaracharinau.
Nasabhyantaracharinau.
Yateendriyamano Buddhih.
Yateendriyamano Buddhih.
Munir Moksha Parayanah.
मुनिर्मोक्षपरायणः
विगतेच्छाभयक्रोधो
विगतेच्छाभयक्रोधो
यः सदा मुक्त एव सः
यः सदा मुक्त एव सः.
So Krishna initially speaks about the first shloka. Krishna is speaking about as to the path, or whatever he said as Labante Brahma Nirvanam Rishe Kshina Kalmashaha Chinnadvaida Yatatmanaha Sarvabhuta Hiteerataha. Same thing he says, so Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bahyan. So Sparshan Kritva Bahir Bahyan. Sparshan means Vishayas, Kritva, making or after making them, what? Bahihi Bahyan. So, after making them go external. So, Vishayas, making Vishayas external. So what does it mean? Like, can we make Vishayas external? Vishayas are already external. They are not in our mind, they are outside. So, how can you externalize objects? So, what Krishna means here is that the external objects, we create an impression of the external object in our mind. So from our mind, remove these objects. So make them external. So it is a way of going back. So though the objects are external, we create an impression in our mind to which we stick to. So it is not the external object that matters, but it is our mental impression of the object that matters. That's the reason why most of the time we get attached to things and people, and all of a sudden we, like, though we may have the same object, we won't feel so attached to the object, because it is not the object that gives happiness, but it is the mental impression in our mind that gives that gives happiness. So Ramatirtha, in one of his lectures, he beautifully brings this out by telling that happiness is not in objects, but it is inside ourselves. So the happiness which is in ourselves, it is the that is the self, and the self gets reflected in the intellect, so that reflection also has little bit happiness. So the reflection is in the antakaranam. So when objects are an impression of the objects are created in our intellect, then we get a little bliss out of the impression. So though we get happiness out of the impression, it is not the impression that is giving us happiness, but it is the reflection of the self that gives us happiness. It is proximity of the intellect to the self that gives objects happiness, that gives us happiness from the objects. So objects are external, but we create an impression in our mind of the object, therefore we have to externalize it. So it is a, like, though objects are external, we have internalized objects, therefore we have to take them out. So sparshan kritva bahihi bahyan. So make externalize objects, that means don't seek objects. Perceive objects, but don't create an impression of objects in your mind. So let it be incidental. Let it be incidental. Like, whatever happens, let it happen, but don't go behind it. So that is the first step. So first step from the Vishayas, don't get attached or averted to Vishayas. Don't get overly associated with Vishayas. As it comes, take it and then forget it. So it's like a child. That's why Bhala Unmadavat, the state of realization, is equated with a child and a madman. So the child is always like the child plays with mud. So if we take, or if we analyze children like playing on a beach shore, on the shores of a beach, we'll see that they'll be making sand castles. So they'll be like spending like a lot of time, like half an hour, 1 hour, building a sand castle, and then all of a sudden its mother will be calling. Suddenly they will just damage the sand castle and then go back. So that is the state, like one moment here, one moment there. So that means then, though there, like in the case of a child, there is no awareness, but for a jnani, there is awareness. So we have to be aware and be incidental to objects. So keep objects external. Don't ever let the mind create an impression of objects. When the moment we see objects, say this is Brahman and negate the object. So that is the first step. So the first step is externalize objects. Don't let objects create an impression, a strong impression in your mind. And chakshushchaiva antare bruvoho. So chakshushchaiva antare bruvoho. So like objects are externalized, then what about indriyas? If objects are externalized, indriyas have to go inward towards the self. So chakshu chaiva antare bruvoho. The chakshu and other indriyas have to go inward. So externalize objects, internalize the sense organs. If we internalize sense organs, will we have perception of objects? We will still have perception of objects. Internalizing of sense organs means that we are focusing the sense organs on the internal self, on the antaratma, which is Brahman. So that means whenever we see an object, whenever we perceive an object, immediately if our mind is able to say this is Brahman, then the object has been thrown out of our mind. The object is created, an impression is created of the object for 1 second or 1 moment. Immediately we throw it out, and then the sense organs perceive the internal Brahman. So that is what is meant there. Since there is no need of telling external and internal, but the externalize objects, internalize the mind. That is because our mind is extroverted, our sense organs are extroverted, therefore we have to pull them back into the Atman. So go inward, antarmukha swabhava. So if we have to pull it in internal or introverted, that doesn't mean that we should stop seeing objects. We should stop perception of objects, we should stop doing actions. It only means that we have to focus them on the internal, antaratma, on the self. So that is what is meant there, and that is that. So Shastra speak about an antarika chakshu. So we have a bahish chakshu, we have a sense organ, the eye, external eye, but there is an internal eye, which is eye of knowledge. So eye of knowledge is the right vision, so that we have to open up. It's there for each and every person, it's not only for Shankara that eye of knowledge is there. Everybody has an eye of knowledge, internal eye, inner eye it's called, but it is closed. So we have to close the external eye, open the inner eye. Once we open the inner eye, then automatically everything will be perceived as Brahman. And then pranapano samau kritva nasabhyantara charinau. So pranapana, like the breath, like in the breath that we breathe in, air that we breathe in and air we breathe out, prana and apana, samau krutva, make that steady, nasa abhyantara charinav, in the opening, nasal opening. So the opening of the nose, make prana and apana samau, stable. So that this doesn't mean pranayamam, it just means that our breath has to be stable, breath has to be normal breathing. So whenever we are in a state, in a natural state, like if we just sit for 10 minutes and then find out our breath, we will find that it is very natural, it is very stable. There is no fluctuation, there is no turbulence or sudden intake of breath or sudden expulsion of air. But if we analyze the state when we are angry, like if we analyze our breath when we are angry or when we are excited, we will find that the breath is very fluctuated, like we gasp for breath. So what here it means is that like have breathe should be normal. So breathe becomes natural or normal when our mind is normal. So since we are externalizing objects and the sense organs are going towards the Atman, that means it is easy for our breath to be natural. So that is what is meant here. So naturalize the breath. And yate indriya mano buddhihi. So indriya mano buddhihi. So after doing this, indriya, manas and buddhi. So sense organs, mind and buddhi. Yata means like having them controlled, having them it can say steadfast in a way, but it means controlled or channelizing of indriyas, mind and buddhi. What is channelizing? Channelizing is nothing but remembering that everything is Brahman and focusing all these three onto Brahman. So remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Whenever something is perceived, whenever some thoughts are there, oh, I have to plan for this, I have to plan to catch my bus, that means immediately we should say, oh, everything is an illusion. Everything is an illusion in Brahman. Jagat is Mithya, everything is Brahman. Immediately we will feel that we will be able to try our best to catch the bus. But the added advantage is that we will be calm as well. Because if we miss the bus, still we will be the same. So that is what is meant here. We have to. So yata controlling means like it's not through pranayamam or some yoga practice, going for some kundalini course and all, and then controlling the mind and the intellect. It means that focusing the mind, focusing the sense organs, focusing the intellect onto Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, onto the reality of Brahman. Once a person does that, then he is a munihi. So muni means like mananaha, manana shilaha munihi. Muni is one who is doing mananam, reflection. So after doing this, he is continuously reflecting on this. These are not like he just doesn't by heart these shlokas and try to just do it once, twice, that's it. Whenever he meets a malak, he'll do it. Not that way, but mananaha, he will be doing it continuously. And such a person, moksha parayanaha. Moksha parayanaha, his goal is moksha alone. He doesn't seek anything else. His para ayanam. So para ayanam means the final goal, the final state to be achieved for him is moksha. Such a person, like who has etaindriya manu buddhihi, through whatever Krishna explained in the 27th shloka, the sparshan kritva, that shloka. So after having controlled them, constantly reflecting on them and considering moksha as the final goal, such a person, vigata iccha bhaya krodho, iccha bhayam krodham. So iccha, desires, bhayam, fear, krodham, anger. Vigata means like not there. Gatham, vigatam means not there, gone away. So since he knows moksha to be the final goal, he is constantly reflecting on controlling and focusing the indriyas, mind and buddhi. Therefore he doesn't have any of this, because he knows Advitiya Brahman. He knows that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Since he remembers that always, continuously he remembers that, therefore he doesn't have Iccha, Bhayam and Krodham. Yaha, who has this, who follows all this, such a person, Sada Mukta Yeva Saha. Saha, he, Sada Mukta Yeva, Mukta Yeva, he is realized, he is liberated. Sada, ever. So that means Brahma Nirvanam is the same as Brahma Nirvanam that that Krishna explained in the 25th shloka. So it's the same thing. So that means Brahma Nirvanam is the same as moksha. And the person who is continuously able to follow this, yate indriya mano buddhihi munihi moksha parayanah vigadeya cha bhaya krodho yas sada muktayeva saha, is ever liberated. That is called sadhyo mukti or Jivan Mukti. Such a person is ever realized, ever liberated, because the thought of Brahman, the thought of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya is natural. He is never away from the thought of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day, where Krishna concludes this chapter with another beautiful shloka. We'll see that tomorrow. हरिओम।